You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Golden Dawn Tavern of Power was an Auckland music venue that many listeners would be familiar with. It has had hundreds, if not thousands, of local and international acts through its doors and surprising Ponsonby crowds with established, unknown and unusual acts. But before the bar closed last month, veteran sound engineer Bob Frisbee made it his personal task to produce and direct a concert documentary recording every single act that performed since the start of the year. So 95BFM reporter and camera operator on the doco, Joel Thomas, spoke to Bob about the documentary and the significance it had in Auckland and music.
So do you want to tell me, first of all, about what this project is?
Well, the grand project is that I wanted like a time capsule of the venue Golden Dawn. It was closing down and they were going to go out with a bang. They programmed pretty much like a festival, a 69-day long festival before they finished. And I just thought, oh, this is a great opportunity to film and record, to document a scene, a significant slice of the local music scene. And the thing about Golden Dawn is that it's not particularly genre specific. I mean, if I think about this project, I can't think of a genre we haven't got covered, from heavy metal to folk music and contemporary classical music and electronica, hip-hop, funk. Yeah, so that was the original conceit, was to film and record every single day this year of performances. And then out of that, making a concert movie. So
when did the idea of the concert movie start? Was that sort of the original idea, or did that sort of spawn as
you
recorded?
No, it came later. I'm a big fan of concert movies. You know, when I was young, before the internet and that sort of thing, that was how we got to know kind of subcultures. So big concert movies for me were things like, you know, The Last Waltz, Dance Craze about British ska in the 70s, Woodstock, Monterey Pop, and the other ones that came out of that, the Hendrix one and Jazz on a Summer's Day.
You've talked to me earlier about sort of wanting it to be a movie for the cinema. What's the significance of that for you?
Well, it's a feature-length movie, and I want it to be quite immersive. You know, the way we're editing it is quite adventurous and poetic, and, you know, they're going to be, like, elegiac moments in the middle and, you know, reflective. There's going to be ruckus stuff and reflective. It's like, I want it to be quite different to, you know, a Facebook video or a YouTube clip. You know, ultimately, I think it will probably end up on the internet, but we're mixing it in 5.1 surround and things like that. So I want to see it in the cinema.
You touched on a bit earlier about how sort of Golden Dawn's a sort of place for subcultures to thrive, I suppose. Can you tell me a bit more about why specifically Golden Dawn? I mean,
look, I think a lot of venues are important, so I don't necessarily want to overstate Golden Dawn's importance, but I think the reason why it was so successful for so long comes down to the curation skills of Matthew Crawley and his business partner and crime Nat. He, you know, he's got a very eclectic tastes. Yeah, his booking policy was pretty healthy, and there's even sort of, it kind of, you know, it was a venue that evolved. It started as a pop-up and it did evolve, and I think there are even some architectural reasons as to why it worked. You had the performance space was the inside space, those are people who are familiar with Golden Dawn, and then there was a covered outdoor space which would have DJs playing and a lot of dance action, but everybody had to pay at the door and come through that performance space. Not everybody that paid was there to see the performers, but if the performances were engaged enough, they would be trapped. They would not be trapped, be captured by it. If they weren't interested, they would just go outside. And so that was a regular thing that I would see, where quite out there or unusual performances that Matthew had booked would be engaging the local Ponsonby Yuppie Yopro crowd. Other things, I mean, Matthew and everybody, in fact, everybody, not just Matthew and Nick, but all the bar staff, they were very keen on having as diverse patronage at Golden Dawn as possible, considering it was Ponsonby, but it still was definitely a wide age range at the venue, from, you know, frankly, elderly people to really young people, and just a real mix.
it seems like a big part of it that you're describing as sort of the atmosphere aspect of it. Is that something you're trying to translate onto film, or is it?
Absolutely, yeah. I was very loose with the camera people and very rarely gave them much of a brief as to focusing. I mean, if I knew that it was going to be a particularly dynamic performer, I would say, yes, let's focus on that. But basically anything that captured their eyes was fair game. And that was deliberate. I don't want, you know, just a dry balls. Oh, here's the guitar solo. The camera's moved to the guitar. So, yeah, definitely that was something that we were definitely trying to capture.
Do you think that's going to translate into being a sort of culturally important document?
I think definitely. And I mean, yeah, without necessarily thinking too high-mindedly about it, it's the sort of thing that, you know, if you watch something similar from 20 years ago or 30 years ago, it's fascinating because you see what people are wearing and the mores and even just the fashions of on stage, you know, gear they're using, the chord changes, the vocal inflections, you know, the influences. You know, if you see stuff from, you know, the New Zealand punk era or New Zealand 60s music, that's fascinating. And yes, that's, I suppose, culturally important. Yeah. I think it's a really unique situation. What I was presented with was this idea of, you know, because we had some big names programmed in the last months, you know, from Dave Dobbin, Nadia Reid, Tiny Ruins, Anthony Tonin, people like that, the Beths, and then just complete unknowns as well. And to have that all documented in a venue that then is going to disappear, I think that's kind of unique. That in itself I found interesting and was one of the reasons why I did it.
And so there's a Boosted campaign happening right now.
Yep.
Tell me about why you need the funding, what it's going towards.
Well, so far I've paid for everything myself, and probably cost me about $13,000 so far. And to make the movie, I'm probably going to need another two times that again. So we launched a Boosted campaign. The target was for $9,000. And basically what it's going to pay for is for the editing, the grading, turning it into a cinema. There's a format that cinemas require. And I need a big chunk of money to pay for all the music licensing as well. We're probably going to have like 25 complete songs in the movie. And then basically all the music in the movie will be being recorded live on the Golden Dawn stage in this period. So that's going to cost a bit of money. And I like the idea of that too. I like the idea of the artists getting paid money for their music, frankly.
And yeah, like you said before, it's not just artists like Dave Dobbin, it's like unknown acts and like a whole bunch of different...
It's mainly that, yeah. So, yeah, you know, a lot of them have turned out to be the stars, you know. Been really fun mixing through the sets and picking the songs, and there are some incredible performances, really standout performances, and I think people are going to be really impressed with the quality, the sound quality. People are already impressed with the sound quality, but also the great performances. It's something a lot of artists that I've played the songs to go, oh, this actually sounds better than our album. And part of it is that the sound is there, the sound is solid, but also mainly it's because the performances are so good. Something about the Golden Dawn atmosphere and the stage and the situation brought out really great performances from people.
All right, give me your pitch. Why should people give you their money? How can they do it?
Well, actually, on Boosted, it's really easy. You just log in. It's really easy to sign up. But I'm also very careful. You know, we're not a charity. It's more that if you are interested in local music and you want to see it celebrated on the screen, this is an opportunity. We're going to have some great premiere gala screenings and in cinemas, and they're going to be great fun events. And yeah, so that's the main thing. If you can go to the websites, you can see the list of artists. And if you're passionate about local music, this is an opportunity for you to see it celebrated, I suppose is a good way of putting it. There's been almost 100% enthusiasm from everybody that I encounter about this project. Like everybody that hears about the project is really enthusiastic about it and has lots of ideas, and they're excited, and all the artists with, you know, 100% there was no pushback from any of the artists. Oh, like, no, we don't want to be part of that, or that's not our buzz, or anything like that. And so I suppose this week is about just bringing all that enthusiasm back to front of, you know, to the front of mind, and going, well, actually, there is this boosted campaign, and it is going to, it's got a deadline next Wednesday, I think. So yeah, if you were enthusiastic, now is the opportunity to take part of it. And I do want a lot of people to feel ownership of the project. I'm not wanting to make a movie that alienates people. I want people to be excited, to feel that they were part of that. Oh, I shot part of that. I was there. That's me. I was on stage, or I paid for a bit of this. Yeah.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.